Welcome to Tip TV Finance. And for many, January the 20th, 2017 will be the end of the world. But we thought we'd just chip in, just in case it is the end of the world, with Bill Hubbard, who's going to give us a view on the markets and the geopolitics and everything else. Bill Hubbard, obviously, chief economist at Trade.com. How are you today, Bill?
Zach, very well, thank you very much. I'm sorry I came casual, but it's one of those things where I made it through Brexit. Yeah. Will I be able to make it through 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon?
Well, exactly. So we've got you in just, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, in many, the video will, you know, it may be disintegrate soon after 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. But so far, the reaction to Trump on the financial markets has been about as positive as you could get. Strong dollar, strong stock market. I mean, that's really saying we've got a businessman coming to the White House. This man's got credibility, at least from a business point of view, or a fiscal point of view. And, you know, we're giving him the benefit of the doubt. Is the market right to do that?
It's got to be right, okay? For the simple fact is, I was a Barack Obama fan. I voted for him twice. I will have to say that he had the rhetoric of John Kennedy, but he didn't unfortunately have the backbone. And one of the things you've got to realize is, you know, whether you're an Alec Ferguson or this, that, and the other, you've got to know your deficiency. I mean, Alec Ferguson, yes, Beckham was a great player, but you can't have 11 Beckhams. You know, you have to have a goalie and this, that, and the other. And I think that's one of the problems where we had with Obama. Although, yes, he was a politician, he wasn't mature enough to get somebody who knew something more than he did. And I think that's where he failed. Now, one of the things, and I guess it's my talking, I won't tell you who I voted for. I voted for Theresa May, of course. But it was a question of, and I said this, I probably may even have said this when I was with you, that whoever was elected president of the United States would be the least loathed rather than the most loved. And the only thing that I can compare with what's happened now was when, I think you may remember him, he was a movie actor before he became president. It was Ronald Reagan. And I think what we may see now, and what I've seen from a number of my friends both here and in the States, especially on Wall Street, they're the Democrats who voted Republican. And everybody said the same thing about Ronald Reagan. But Ronald Reagan knew enough to realize he knew nothing about everything. So therefore, he got people around him that were not better, but much better. And I think one of the things we're going to see is, and I know it's very difficult, this is the first time we haven't had a politician, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have a businessman. And right or wrong, I think we had, New York City had the same problem several years ago when there was a guy named, Bloomberg was his name, and in the head of Queens Council in the Bronx, in the Brooklyn, said he is going to be a disaster, darling, a total disaster, because he's a businessman. Well, he was such a good businessman that he took the city of New York from a deficit to a current account surplus. He was such a great mayor, they had the 1+1 rule, which means he could only stay for 8 years. They overruled that rule to give him another 4 years, and he finally said, I've got other things to do. He turned New York into a corporation, and I think that's what Trump will do. Now, I know it's very easy to say, and again, it's like anywhere else. Up until 5 o'clock tomorrow, he is the president-elect, but 5:01 tomorrow, he is the president.
So isn't a massive event risk on that? Is there an event risk in the markets just on the, you know, 5:01?
Yes.
People are going to be looking at this Twitter feed. They're going to be looking at the financial, the Dow. And, you know, it's going to be, it's a bit of a, you know, it's on the edge of the seat type of stuff, isn't it?
And I think it's, in just reading the papers today, all the Nobel economists and stuff like that, you know, the doom and gloomers. Were they the same people back on the 24th of June that said it's all over?
But that's
the
thing.
UK, I mean, is going down the pan.
That's the thing that, I mean, it's the Trump issue, or the issue with the all the controversy and everything else, has basically been because he's not a politician.
That's right.
And that's really hurt the political class, which in turn that means the journalists and the media are all going to be anti him and everything else. And that is the real revolution that we're seeing. It's the same with the economists as well. I mean, they're all the World Economic Forum in Davos. I'm surprised they didn't cancel it because it's just been an embarrassing year. And what are they? What they should change it to something else? The World Elitist Forum, or the World, Billionaires Club, whatever it is. But anything, the actual art or the art or science of economics has been totally devalued, and also the political class has been given a slap in the face.
And as you just said, one of the people who's been most quoted so far is a guy named Martin Sorrell, okay? I think I saw him selling the big issue in front of the co-op. What did he make, 70 million last year? I mean, does he have any correlation to the man on the street? And I think one of the things that we have to realize is, you know, I've just written something I'll be delighted to send you. It's talking about the idea or the concept, and we've had it over here. 30 years ago when I came to the UK, there was a middle class. Middle class is that sort of upper, lower class now? I mean, there's the rich, rich, and then there's the poor, poor. And I mean, even now we're starting to see it here in the UK. Maybe it's just the simple fact is that, excuse me, with sterling having declined dramatically. I mean, just look, since January of 2016, petrol prices have gone up 10p, okay? On a percentage basis, that's far higher than wages are. And you still got I can't think of one of the acronyms, but it's the people who, on like the 27th of January, are saying, do I pay the light bill, the electricity bill, or do I go to Lidl for my shopping? And I think the same thing is happening in the States. And the people that elected Donald Trump, okay, were the people who will never admit it, maybe from Goldman Sachs or Citigroup or this, that, and the other, who had sold all of their positions the first week in November. And boy, did they make a lot of money, okay, in buying them back. And also the people, you know, Joe and Louise, average American. And the thing is look who elected Donald Trump, okay? The Rust Belt, okay? Wisconsin, Iowa, Indiana, Florida, and Texas, okay? And these are the people with, you know, especially in Texas. I think one of the things that Mr. Trump wanted to make is a wall around Texas. But he carried the Spanish folk feeling that, you know, here is somebody that will look after us. And I know I should be using
it's about wealth creation, really.
Yes, it is. And
right,
populism.
So we've had the rally. Is it going to be a Trump slump from now on? Is it going to be dollar weakness from now on? What's your best call on this?
Well, I think, and one of the things, it was hinted in an article earlier this week, and Janet Yellen spoke last night or this morning. And even Janet Yellen now is starting to start agree with the dot plot, which is inferring 3 rate hikes this year. Now, 3 may be
is
too many.
Is that not just trying to keep a job?
I don't know. It'll be very difficult. Again, and I was quite surprised the other day when the president-elect basically talked down the dollar. Well, you're not supposed to. As Janet Yellen says, we don't discuss the presidency, and the president is not supposed to discuss the dollar. But my feeling being is the U.S. economy is doing well. Wages will have to start going up, although there's still the mass difference between the very wealthy and the not. But, I mean, even if Donald Trump gets half of his things done in reference to infrastructure projects, all you've got to see is, look what's happened to, like, mining shares, you know, copper, iron ore, coal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Look at fracking, okay? I think last week was the first week after 21 consecutive weeks with the Baker Hughes oil rigs going up and up and up and up and up. And, you know, again, yes, OPEC wants the oil price to go up, you know, higher, but they don't want it to get anywhere close to 75 to 100 because every shale oil company in the world, you know, will start coming in here. So one of the things I think you're going to start seeing is once he makes his first speech tomorrow, I would expect, and we saw it yesterday, the S&P and the NASDAQ was up. The Dow still missed by, what, 0.37 on that Friday afternoon, which I will say the reason why we didn't reach that was the day of the horrific events. And literally, when it was with just, you know, just pennies away, that's when the shooting at Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, Florida. So that sort of just upset the people. But my feeling is the sooner we have a correction, the market is going to do considerably better. I am very bullish because I do feel once we get away from the politics, you know, with the Democrats boycotting tomorrow and the Republicans saying this, that, and the other, he's got a very good contingency of people, okay? Some of them are as rich as he is. But one of the things, and even if you know, and I have been watching the 2 American channels, I won't give you any names, of course, but what they're saying is a number of the people that he selected for this cabinet, this, that, and the other, are automatically saying, well, I sort of agree with the president, but, you know, we can go 75%, maybe not 100%. So I think one of the things that we're going to see, and a couple of previous cabinet members of both the Bush administration and the Clinton administration are saying the key thing is the president has to listen to his members, and the members have to have the courage to say, sorry, Mr. President, you're close on that, but wrong. So my feeling is, and I have, you know, I'm an optimist. I have to feel we will start seeing, and I guess maybe we need a Trump slump for people to come back in, because are we still looking at too many people saying, well, I missed the market in November, and you know, do we need a 1-2% sell-off? I don't care. But my feeling is rates are going to go up. I still feel, although the market's only implying an 18% probability, I think the Fed Reserve will do 2 rate hikes this year, and the first one could come as early as March, okay? And I think one of those things is by doing that, I think Janet Yellen will have the courage, because I think we've talked about this before. The Federal Reserve has been behind the curve since June 2015. They should have started raising rates then, and it would have made it easier in 2015 and in 2016. So my feeling is, you know, in the old days when we were growing up, when rates were 14, 15, 16%, what's a quarter of 1% when the base rate is a half of 1%, okay? It's meaningless. But to me, that is telling us, ooh, if the central bank of the states is raising rates, that must be good for the economy. And I think the thing where I've been quite impressed with Janet Yellen and the Fed, they have made no political comments, unlike who is the governor of the Bank of England? I mean, you know, come on, you have to be apolitical.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens after 5 p.m. On January the 20th. But in the meantime,
and hopefully you'll invite me back, and we'll be able to discuss.
Hopefully, we'll have a chance
again
to come back. Bill Hubbard, Chief Economist at Trader.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you very
for joining
much
me today.
Yes.